So from the book of John, chapter 6, Jesus in Galilee, and it's time. It's party time in the Middle East. It's time for the Feast of the Tabernacles. Stand up if you know what the Feast of the Tabernacles is. I'm not going to make you stand up. Just raise a hand. Anyone? I know Bert knows, but he's keeping his hand down because I'm going to call on him. If you raise that hand, do you remember what the Feast of the Tabernacles was? You know, when the Israelites, they came out of Egypt, remember? In a couple weeks, it's going to be a Sunday night. On Easter Sunday, we're going to watch the Ten Commandments, right, with Charlton Heston and all that stuff. We do it every year, right? Yul Brynner's in it. John Derrick's in it. Everybody's in it. We know who John Derrick is because he married Bo Derrick. Remember Bo Derrick? Chuck, remember Bo Derrick? Oh, of course. With them braids. Man. So anyway, what's that got to do with the Bible? So anyway, they're coming to the feast. Go leave Galilee and go down to the festival because God decrees it. You got to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. You got to go for the Passover. You got to go for the Festival of Weeks. And in September, at the end of the year, you got to go for the Festival of the Tabernacles. When they were in the wilderness for 40 years, right, where did they stay? They had makeshift tents, right? They needed somewhere to live. And they move, and they go here the next day, and they set up the big tabernacle, worship there, and then they'd move along and put these tents up here. And God provided for them for 40 years with food from heaven, right? Manna fell down, and quail came, and when they were thirsty, he'd crack a rock and water would come out, and for 40 years he took care of them. Now you're going to celebrate that forever and ever. He never said to stop celebrating it. So you come and you celebrate this. Go on down there. And they're like, you got to come with us, Jesus, and get this thing going. He's like, oh, I'm not coming. You go. I'll catch up. I love that part. He's like, I'm not coming. You can't push him. You can't tell him where to go and when to go. He's going to go. He'll get there when he gets there. I love that. So they went down to Jerusalem, and a couple days later, Jesus shows up, and he goes into the temple, and he's preaching, he's teaching, and everyone's fascinated by what he's saying, except for those Pharisees, right? They come along, and they say, how does this man get such learning without having studied? And Jesus says, my teaching's not my own. It comes from him who sent me. And if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own behalf. This is important, isn't it? When the person's in the pulpit, where do these words come from? Are these my feelings? It better not be. If ever Sean Herm speaks up here, you guys run, okay? Run. If you don't hear the word of God, run. Has not Moses given you the law? And yet you don't keep the law? Then why are you trying to kill me? He's crazy. He says, I'm speaking the truth, and you don't listen to it, and you don't listen to Moses either. You listen to nothing. You act like Moses is the most important thing, but you still don't hear what he's telling you to keep the law. He says, I do a miracle in front of you, and you're astonished, because Moses, he gave you circumcision, and yet you circumcise on Sundays. You're supposed to... He's actually wrong. You know that? Jesus is actually wrong in this case. And it says so in the Bible. John says he got it mixed up. Abraham gave us circumcision, right? But it became a law under Moses, and you're supposed to do it on the eighth day. And if that eighth day falls on the Sabbath, well, you have to do it, right? So they sort of break the law to fulfill the law. So which is it, right? Is the law broken? Jesus says, see, if you can do that, why are you angry with me then for healing on the Sabbath? They didn't like him healing on the Sabbath. You're allowed to get a cow out of a ditch on the Sabbath. If you have a wound on your eye, you're not allowed to take ointment on the Sabbath and put it on your eye. You have to wait till the next day. You can't pull a thread. You can't write a word. You can write 3 letters, but you can't write 4. You can't write around an angle. You can't. Look at all this. What is he saying? Here's what he says. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a good judgment. Hear what Jesus says? Make the right decision. Read what it says. They tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not come yet. And yet many put their faith in him. Later on, the Jews say to him, he's still in Jerusalem at this time, aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan? Remember, they hated those Samaritans up north. And that you're demon-possessed, aren't we right? And Jesus says, I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but for he who sent me. Because he is the judge. The Jews spoke back saying, we know you're demon-possessed because Abraham died and all the prophets died, yet you say if anyone keeps your word, he won't die. So which is it? Abraham died and Jesus says, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing to me. My Father, who you claim is God, is the one who glorifies me, though you do not know him. This is an insult, isn't it? You don't know who he is. I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar just like you. But I know him and I keep his word. He says that Abraham rejoiced at the thought of me. Abraham, he's been dead for what, 2,000 years? And yet you're not 50 years old, they says. You haven't seen Abraham, they said. Uh-oh, Jesus is going to get himself in trouble now. He's going to say, I tell the truth. Before Abraham was, I am. Ooh, that's the big one, isn't it? Does it sound like anything big to you? He says, I am. I am. I was watching that show in 1999. It was DreamWorks did the story of Moses. And it was, and they consulted people, you know, Muslims, Jews, and Christians. And there's a part where Moses is at the burning bush, and he asked who God is, and God says, I am who I am. And I thought, that's so stupid. He would never say, Bert, I thought that was, God would never say that, right? And then I opened the book, and guess what? It's exactly what he said. Oh, because I didn't understand, because I'm a 1999 guy. The apocalypse is coming in 10 minutes, right? 2000 is going to come. It's going to ruin my 64K RAM computer, right? Then what? The electric's going to turn off? I don't think so. We got a crick. We'll be fine. You know, we got deer. We'll chase them, but we'll eat something. It'll be fine. And so I was watching that. And I thought, I am who I am. Then you read it. And that's, he's saying, that is, he's proclaiming to be God. I am who I am. I am the great I am. They said I am because they couldn't say God's name. His name is Yahweh, and they wouldn't even spell it. They would take the vowels out and just have the consonants there because they couldn't even write the name, and they couldn't say the name, so he was the great I am. And Jesus says, I am. Right to their faces. Well, he's got to die, right? Because that's called what? Blasphemy. What is the penalty for blasphemy? Death. And Jesus says, nope, not my time, because it's winter. It's not yet spring, right? He's going to come back. This is the fall festival, the fall harvest, the tabernacles. He's coming back. Okay, now we can start the sermon. Whew. Now we're at John 9. Remember the George born with no arms? And this is the story he told, because it relates, how much more could it relate to him than any one of us? He was born with no arms, destined to die. He can drive a truck. He's amazing. Play a guitar. He has a wife and the kids and full life. Destined to die. But someone said no. John chapter 9, they're still in the area. It's not quite springtime yet. Soon he's going to go to the Hanukkah festival there here at the end of John chapter 9, beginning of chapter 10. So then it'll be Passover and a few months later when he goes to the cross. As he went along with his disciples, he saw a man born blind. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, Jesus said, neither this man or his parents sinned. This is not what they believe in. If you have sin in your life, if you have a malady in your life, you must have done something to deserve it, right? Isn't that what we see with Job and his three lousy friends sitting there on the sand? Job, you deserve this. Your family died, your livestock died, you got boils over your body, your life is a mess, and you deserve it. What did you do? And Job says, I didn't do anything. He says, no, you did something. On and on. This is like 65 chapters of this, accusing Job of what he did wrong, and God answers him, you didn't do anything wrong, Job, so that my glory can be revealed. But what does he say? But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Boy, that's a relief, isn't it? Why was he born blind? So God's glory could be revealed. Were you born the way you wanted to be? I wanted to be the best football player ever. I wanted to be a ladies' man. I thought women would be so attractive. I wanted to be successful. I wanted all these great things because, for me. For sure. I wanted to, you know what I want more than anything? I wanted to be an actor too. I wanted to, after my NFL career, I wanted to go be an actor on TV because I really got that thing. I got that riz, right, Paula? I got the riz? I say a lot of things. That means that's short for charisma. Did you all know that? Riz. You got to keep up with it. Kids in the back knew that, did you? Your daughters? Yeah, they know. Don't talk like the kids. It's embarrassing for them. Riz. Not Ritz. Putting on the Ritz is when I dress up. The Riz. Charisma. I thought after that I wanted these things for me. What does God say? You're blind. Sean, you're not real handsome. You're not athletic at all. Like Isaiah 53, nothing to attract people to him. But your glory will be displayed in this man. He's sitting there his whole life. He's begging. In those days, they had to wear beggar's coats. It was like an official thing. The man at Jericho wore one. It says, I am blind. This is my license, my permit to beg here. I'm a professional beggar, sitting where he was every single day. And Jesus says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And after saying this, what did he do? He spit on the ground, and he made some mud with the saliva, and he put it in the man's eyes. This sounds crude and primitive. It sounds mystical, but they believed that this had healing, that the spit could heal. And so he spits in the mud, and he rubs it on the man's eye, and does he instantly get cured? No. He's got to do something. He's got to get up. He's got to go and do something. Jesus comes in and starts this process, meets the man where he is, spits on the ground, puts in his eye, says, now go. Go to that pool of Siloam. It's there. It's to the south of the temple on the eastern side of Jerusalem. There it is. They discovered it back in 20,004. They found the steps that lead to it. If you go there today, it's fed by the tunnel called Hezekiah's Tunnel, which is still there today. You can go visit it. And it leads from the Gihon Spring up there towards the Mount of Olives. And it runs through. And Hezekiah built there. And it's 1,700 feet long. Man, they could. When you're determined, they can do anything, right? Go, he says, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went, he washed, and he came home, and he was seeing. And his neighbors and those who knew him, they were begging him, saying, isn't this the same man who used to beg here? Some thought he was, some thought he wasn't. Others says, no, he just looks like him. Do you believe this? Can you believe, if I walk in out this door and I come in with a different coat on, you'll probably recognize me, correct? This is a truth for not, anyone know who Henry Cavill is? Hey, real handsome. Raise your hand if you think Henry Cavill's handsome. No one. He's Superman. Y'all see the Superman movies? That handsome guy. He did a test. He said, if I put those glasses on like I do in the movie when I'm Clark Kent, I want to see if anyone recognizes me. He went around Times Square, and no one recognized Henry Cavill with glasses. Isn't that funny? He's a handsome man. Put them on. Henry, nope. Henry, you know. And one person stopped him to ask for directions. That's Superman. Good-looking man. My wife would have picked him out. She'd be like, ooh, Henry. No one only looks like him. How your eyes opened. He says, the man called Jesus, put some mud in my eyes. He told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I did. Now I can see. Where is this man? I don't know. This sounds like a real story, doesn't it? There's too much of this conversation. It's so well done. So they brought the man to the Pharisees. I don't know why they got to get involved, right? But here's a miracle. But here are these Pharisees, and you know what they think of Jesus. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and he opened the eyes was the Sabbath. You know the story. Wrong, 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 right? He's not allowed to heal on the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. And he says, once again, he put mud on my eyes. I washed, now I see. Pretty simple. Now, the Pharisees are upset. They say, this man's not from God because he works on the Sabbath. Have you had enough of them yet? Have you? This is the world, isn't it? We see Jesus face to face. We know what he's like. We know what he can do for us. We know he can change us. And we still say, No, it doesn't quite fit my lifestyle. Kind of crimps it, doesn't it? How can a sinner perform such signs? He's a sinner. They turned to the man and said, what do you have to say about this? Defend yourself. It was the Sabbath. You shouldn't be healed. He's his whole life, and now we can see who's happy for him. No one's happy for him because it was the wrong day. Who did this? The man who's a prophet. So they go to the parents. They drag the parents out. Is this your son? It looks like him. They don't recognize him either. What is going on? He must have put the glasses on. So who is he? He was born blind. Well, how did he get healed? And you know what they say? If they tell them that Jesus healed their boy, they're going to get thrown out of the church. And they don't want this because being in the church is more important than recognizing that their son got healed. I'm getting angry up here every minute. I'm getting worked up, Paul. A little worked up. You see what's in front? Do you see what's in front of you? Your son can see again. Your son is healed. The vet has healed my kitten. 90% chance that she would die. But they gave her this medicine, and she's running around the house like crazy. It's only been a week, and every day I sit there and thank God for medicines and my little kitten, you know. I know it's just a kitten in this world of pain and war, but she's my little kitten, and she's going to live. She's been healed. I can't believe how grateful I am. But can you imagine your son being healed? We took our daughter once to AI DuPont. You know, they asked me to leave the room while she was being examined because everyone else was holding it together except Dad. I was not holding it together. They said, hey, Dad, there's a cafeteria. Why don't you go get something to eat? I'm like, yeah, good idea. You know, that I can do. Can't do anything else. You go. Leave us, the women here, because you're an emotional wreck. Ask the boy yourself, the parents say. He's of age. He's old enough. So they ask him again, and it was Jesus who did this. Jesus did this. So every kind of party breaks up, and he's out. Now he can go where he wants, right? He can take that coat off now. He doesn't have to be ashamed anymore. He doesn't have to beg. He's got his life back because of Jesus. And so everyone breaks up, and everyone goes to the synagogue, and he's walking along the streets, and Jesus comes up alongside of him. And what did he say? Where is it? There we go. Good, I love it. So Jesus said to him, he said, I heard you were thrown out of the synagogue. He said, yes, I was. He says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of God? And the man says, who is he? See, he knows him as a man who healed him. He knows that he's a prophet because what he did came true. And now he sees him face to face. He says, tell me so that I may believe. Jesus says, you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. And the man says, Lord, I believe. He goes from a man to a prophet to the Son of God because of what he did for him. And everyone else watching this good thing, they want to throw him out. For judgment I came into this world, says Jesus, so that the blind will see and that those who see will become blind. The Pharisees, they were over the way. They're still lurking around. And they're like, are you calling us blind? He's like, yes, you're blind because you should know better. You should know. You've read the scriptures. You know what it says. Just like Nicodemus, you know that he's coming back. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be born of the Virgin. He's going to come from Nazareth. He fits all these, every criteria. And then the words he says and the signs that he brings. He raises the dead. He feeds thousands. Don't you see? It's him. No, we don't want that. We don't want you. Are we blind? He says, you are blind. And if you were just ignorant, you'd be okay. But since you know, you're condemned. We look at that word judgment. We don't like it. Nobody can judge me. And then we go, well, only God can judge me. Oops, that's where we're at. Only God can judge me. And yes, we will be. You judge yourself when you make the choice. Choices down the aisle. Which side do you want to be on? You want to be a sheep or you want to be a goat? The goats are the ones that are cast away. They choose not to be with him. That's the choice. You choose. It's not like judgment, but it's you choose your judgment. Where do you want to be? I know where I want to be. And Reedy and I have had this conversation. And I don't know about the rest of you, Bert, but Reedy and I are going to heaven. All right? We got that figured out. The rest of you got that figured out? Oh, Jim and Dorothy are going. That's right. The Kewins are going. You know. Everyone else going? Because I've had some people in this church tell me they're not for certain. And that breaks my heart. Because it's the one thing that we should have known. We know we're going to church, to heaven, because Jesus died for us. And he says, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Call him Lord and you are saved. You get it? Can you do that? Let's pray together. Pray and pray it out in your hearts and say it with your lips that Jesus is Lord. And we pray together saying, Heavenly Father, we pray we're not blind like these people. They see the truth in front of them. They just won't accept it. They just won't accept what they see and hear, and they feel it in their bones, and they know something's happening. We pray for them too. We pray for the Pharisees in our lives and the Sadducees and those who deny you and those in our own family, the ones that we love that just won't give it up for you. And it breaks our heart. It breaks our heart to see these horrible things happening in the world. We know you came to love us, to call us to repentance, to give up our sins. And when we do, we are forgiven. And our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, you say. And we can enter into your eternal rest because we've accepted your Son. He gives us the freedom. He pays the price. He has redeemed us. And some of us may not be the smartest. We may be a little bit ignorant of things, but we understand who you are. We understand that you are the one, the only one to be obeyed, the only one to worship. And we call you Lord on bended knee. With our lips and our tongues, we profess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen.